public impeachment hearings.
You're going to see the cream of our diplomatic corps speak truth to power.
This entire thing is a political charade.
Records fall in the bitter cold.
I don't know why it's so cold and ain't even Thanksgiving yet. It's crazy.
Kaepernick, come back.
Several teams inquired about his readiness to return to the field.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Capital One.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kaife, and the American public gets a chance to look in and listen as the House opens up its impeachment inquiry. It's the first day of broadcast testimony. Today, the focus is on two people who've already spoken to investigators behind closed doors. CBS's Nancy Cordes begins our team coverage.
Democratic aides say George Kent and Bill Taylor were chosen to testify first because they watched this pressure campaign unfold from their posts in Ukraine and D.C. The two have described U.S. policy in Ukraine as highly irregular, alarming, and a crisis that threatened to consume the U.S.-Ukraine relationship. But Republicans will argue today that Taylor and Kent got some of their information secondhand.
Bill Taylor never talked with the president. There was all kinds of important meetings that he wasn't present at.
Washington State Democrat Denny Heck is one of 22 members who will be asking the questions today.
They say that there's not enough evidence that the president himself withheld this aid in order to pressure Ukraine.
There's more evidence to prove that the president attempted to bribe or extort Ukraine with the threat of withholding vital military assistance, then there is evidence to support the idea that the sun will come up in the east tomorrow.
I'm Stephen Portnoy at the White House. On the whole, the president's defense of his controversial call with Ukraine's president has been straightforward and consistent.
The conversation was absolutely perfect.
Democrats say the transcript of the July 25th call and the testimony about what led up to and followed it prove the opposite, that Mr. Trump and a small cadre of advisors in and out of government threatened U.S. military support for Ukraine to pressure its new leader into doing the president's political bidding. This week, Republicans have signaled they'll argue Mr. Trump was instead driven by a deep-seated, genuine, and reasonable skepticism of Ukraine based on its history of pervasive corruption.
And not long after the hearing begins today, President Trump meets with Turkey's president at the White House. A court has ruled against warrantless searches of phones and other devices carried by international travelers entering the U.S. We're live with CBS's Vicky Barker.
These searches have quadrupled under this administration, which argues they're vital for protecting America. But the ACLU calls them fishing expeditions and notes they've morphed to include searches for possible tax and criminal violations, among other things. It sued on behalf of 11 passengers forced to hand over electronic passwords. 10 are U.S. citizens. The 11th, a legal resident. The judge ruling the searches are unconstitutional without a warrant. Steve?
The invasion by a bitter Arctic front now extends into the south and east. CBS's David Begno is on the weather watch.
It was an early dose of winter that coated the roads in Ohio with ice, sleet, and snow, which caused a more than 50-car pileup. Down south, facing a freeze warning, members of Houston's Bethel Baptist Church patrolled the streets overnight, looking for those in need of shelter and set up cots for them indoors. Some people welcomed the winter weather as it blew through Beech Mountain, North Carolina. College students broke out skis and a tow rope.
Well, now to Italy, where the problem in historic Venice is high water. The city, known for its canals, has recorded its second highest water levels ever. More than 85% of the city is flooded. Tourists don't seem to mind.
It's an adventure.
Awesome adventure.
The mayor of Venice blames climate change and says the city is on its knees. Doctors in Detroit are talking about the first double lung transplant on a patient whose lungs were damaged by vaping. The surgery was done on a patient who had just turned 17 years old.
What I saw in his lungs is nothing that I've ever seen before, and I've been doing lung transplants for 20 years.
Dr. Hassan Nemi led the surgical team.
There was an enormous amount of inflammation and scarring. In addition to multiple spots of dead tissue.
He says the patient's making a good recovery. The U.S. has ordered family members of American government workers in Bolivia to leave the country, and it's warned Americans not to travel there. The country's been ripped by unrest. It's been 21 years since we've seen the kind of events we'll see in Washington today. CBS's Nancy Cordes says in 1998, a Democrat, Bill Clinton, was in the White House, and Republicans controlled the House.
Then, like now, the parties were split over whether the president's actions represented what the Constitution refers to as high crimes and misdemeanors. California Democrat Zoe Lofgren.
He lied about sex, not an admirable thing, but really not an activity that shook the foundations of the Constitution.
Wisconsin Republican Jim Sensenbrenner.
The president of the United States should be held to the highest standard of anybody in the country.
Both lawmakers sit on the House Judiciary Committee, which handles impeachment. They were there in 1998, too.
This is not a joyful experience for anyone engaged in it, but it's an obligation that we have.
President Clinton famously said the process was beyond his control.
It's not in my hands. It is in the hands of Congress and the people of this country.
President Trump has mounted a more direct defense.
We had a totally appropriate, I even say perfect, conversation.
In the end, the House voted to impeach President Clinton on two charges. But he was acquitted by the Senate less than 2 months later, with some Republicans crossing party lines. Sensenbrenner predicts acquittal for President Trump, too.
The president is not going to be removed from office. I think everybody realizes that.
The NFL quarterback who took a knee during the national anthem at games, dividing fans, may be looking to return to uniform. KPIX-TV's Maria Medina has the latest on Colin Kaepernick.
On Saturday, the NFL will hold a private workout with Kaepernick in Atlanta after several teams inquired about his readiness to return to the field. Kaepernick tweeted confirmation saying, "I've been in shape and ready for this for 3 years. Can't wait to see the head coach and GM."
There's a new honor for an entertainer whose star is on the rise.
John Legend is People's Sexiest Man Alive for 2019, and he's crediting his NBC voicemate for the big win.
Mostly, I want to thank Blake Shelton because I sat next to him for the last few months, and I learned his sexy ways. Like,
Shelton gifted Legend a pair of booty shorts.
He already came into this show with an EGOT. Now you have an EGOTSMA.
The word emblazoned across the backside for Voice EGOT Sexiest Man Alive. The singer's among the select few who've won an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony Award. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
The entire cast of a daytime soap opera has been released from their contracts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
There are enough shows of Days of Our Lives in the can to last through next summer. NBC has not decided whether it will be renewed for a 56th season. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.